We are in Doctrine and Covenants section 63 today, and we're going to do verses 1 through 20. And if you keep in mind that Ezra Booth and I'm trying to think who else he was with, Isaac Morley, they go on this mission, and Ezra Booth is not, we've talked about this and you've heard this other places, is not happy when he gets to Missouri. First off, he's not happy that they've come a slower, much longer way than the president, prophet, Joseph Smith. Second off, he comes and he sees it's the wild, wild west, and he is not impressed. And so he just allows this feeling of disappointment to grow and grow in him. And so I think it's important to keep this in the back of our mind. They will be chastened. He's being chastened, him and Isaac Morley. And the interesting thing is Isaac Morley repents and sells his farm, and he becomes a bishop, a patriarch, and then dies in Utah in 1865. Well, as we know from church history and studying, Ezra Booth just leaves and becomes worse and worse and worse, writes letters against the church, writes letters against the prophet Joseph Smith, and it just becomes a huge antagonist, of the church. So I want to start in verse 1, and it says, "Hearken, O you people, open your hearts and give ear from afar. Listen, you that call yourselves the people of the Lord." And I love that, because if you're going to say that you are, then you better be that. And truly, this section, this part of DNC 63, really what I have written very big is no hypocrisy. God is a God of truth and cannot lie. And he really loves honesty. He loves that you come with questions. He loves that you come sincerely repenting with your weaknesses and your faults. He loves that. He knows that. What he does not love is a hypocrite. And so if you're going to call yourself the people of the Lord, then here it goes on to give the definition of what that means. Hear the word of the Lord and his will concerning you. And it just reminds me of when he was in the garden and says, "Let this cup pass. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." That is the example. So if you're going to call yourselves my people, then you better do my will. And so I think that's a really important thing as we go into this. And then in the next like 6 verses, he is pretty angry. And the tone is very much an Old Testament God. "I will smite you down, hellfire, damnation." It's pretty intense. And on Sunday, as we were doing Come Follow Me, my husband said to my daughter, "Why do you think he sounds like that? Because is that what you think of when you think of God?" And what was really cool was to talk through with her and come to the point of this is a brand new church. And just it centers on that very verse 1. If you're going to call yourselves my people, if you want to be on this team, if you want to bring the church and gather in from all the corners of the earth and be my servants and be my people, and we were chosen to be that before we ever came, then you better hear my word and you better be willing to obey. And he makes it very, very clear, the line in the sand. And so that there's no room for error here. This is brand new. And I loved my husband said, "We have scripture. We have example after example. We have so much to look at. These people had nothing." And so God had to make it very, very clear to them. So I love that. And he ends with in verse 6, "Let the wicked take heed and let the rebellious fear and tremble. Let the unbelieving hold their lips, for the day of wrath shall come." And I love that. So just listen it. Listen up. No hypocrisy. Be ready. Okay. We're going to now go into verse 7, where we start with the sign seeking. "And he that seeketh signs shall see signs, but not to salvation. Verily I say, there are those among you who seeketh signs, and there have been such even from the beginning. But behold, faith cometh not by those signs, but signs follow those that believe." And I have listed, we talked about this as a family, people who sought for signs and people who signs followed. And so we talked about Alma the younger, and he definitely was not praying and asking for a sign. He wasn't even following, but an angel came because of the prayers of his father, the faith of his father. And he was struck dumb. And as you talk about those verses of hellfire and damnation, it really sums up what Alma experienced. And I said to my seminary students, why do you think the Lord allowed that to happen? It sounds horrid when we talk about the fire. It's not an actual fire. It's the burning of your conscience. If you remember, Zeezrom's conscience burned so strongly he was sick. It made him ill. Alma wished to cease to exist. It was the bitterest pain he had ever felt. And always they come up with this so that they would change. If Alma had not gone through that, those 3 days in the back of his mind, that agony, he seemed to remember Jesus, one Jesus Christ, whom his father had testified of. And Alma was an adult who knew better and had been taught differently and had been raised in the home with the prophet. And so I love that, because that affected change. And then Alma was able to turn to God to repent, and his whole life changed, and the joy and the fruit of the gospel. And that's why God really exists, to make life better for us, and to make life easier and happy. That's his goal for us, is joy, a fullness of joy. So we have Alma, we have Nephi. Remember, his brothers always were seeking for a sign. And when the angel came and said, why do you smite your younger brother? They had a lot of signs, the Liahona. And yet none of that convinced them the truth. Korihor sought for a sign and was struck dumb. Sign seeking does not lead to a testimony. And it's really good to go through that with your kids and with the seminary kids to go through. A testimony born through the Holy Ghost is the only thing that endures. And I love talking about those who got signs that follow them that believe. Amulek, and look at all that he went through and sacrificed because of the testimony that came. An angel came in a dream and told him to accept Alma in his home, and he obeyed. And man, the change in his life and the sacrifices he made to embrace God. And the fullness of joy. And then you have Joseph Smith. He did not pray for a sign. He prayed for an answer to know to a question, sought and strove and worked to get that answer for a long, long time. Put a lot of effort in, and comes and sees Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ come to him. That sign followed his faith. That did not convince him of the truth of the gospel. That came through effort. What it convinced him of is that God truly does hear and answer prayers, that we have a Heavenly Father and a Jesus Christ. And I just loved the whole thought of President Eyring's talk. How has God shown himself in your life today? How have you seen the hand of God? And he asked us to start a journal, and I have done that ever since that talk. And truly, there are signs everywhere in our life, if we look, that witness of God's love and participation in our life and his guidance. And so I think that's so important to know. All things testify of Christ, and even the very earth in its motion. Remember that scripture. It's just beautiful. Okay. Go down to 14. There were among you adulterers and adulteresses, some of whom have turned away from you, and others remain with you, and hereafter will be revealed. I love this, because what that is they are, it could be literally, but I really believe it's that we're turning from God, and it means others, but also Ezra Booth. You say you want to follow me. So again, it's this theme of hypocrisy. You say that you are mine, and yet, are you doing my will? Are you obeying me? And Ezra is being tested, and as we know, once they leave the conference, he doesn't even teach. He speedily goes home and leaves the church. So it really is this, be faithful to God. And it really ties into Isaiah, who uses the marriage, who uses the parable of the 10 virgins. And so really is a sign of being faithful to God. And if you go down to 16, verily I say to you that he that looketh on a woman to lust after her or commits adultery in their hearts, they shall not have the Spirit, but shall deny the faith in fear. And so, yes, that can be literal, but it also is quit searching after those things in your heart that you place in front of God. Put God first. Are you mine? That means then that you hear my word and you hear my will and you obey. So I loved that theme that really comes out of this, of the hypocrisy. Do what you say you're going to do. Okay. And then it tells us in verse 17, I, the Lord, have said that the fearful and unbelieving and all liars, whoever loveth and maketh a lie, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. And so it, again, it's the hypocrisy. If you're going to say you're going to follow, then you better be obedient. Okay. 18, verily I say, they shall not have part in the first resurrection. And of course they won't. They won't have faith in Christ. They won't have obedience as part of their makeup. We're supposed to be practicing repentance and obedience, and that will not be part of who they are. And then jump to 20. Nevertheless, he that endureth in faith, and that is an action that is not hanging on, endureth in faith and doeth my will, the same shall overcome. And I love that, because what that means is every day we wake up reading our scriptures, saying our prayers with a distinct desire to follow God and to pray and ask, what more can I do? How can I become closer? That is what endureth mean. And it goes right back to that definition. Are you his? Then you endure in faith, you do his will, and the same shall overcome and receive an inheritance on the earth when the day of transfiguration shall come. And that is our goal. That is our goal, to dwell in the millennium with God and with our families. And so I love that we have this definition in this example. And I love the example of Ezra Booth and Isaac Morley. We get to choose which we're going to be. Are there things that disappoint us? Are there things that are hard and challenging? Yes, we get the choice. Are we going to hang around the other doubters and let it take us down? Or are we, like Isaac Morley, going to repent and move to those who have faith, who we desire to be with in all eternity, and correct and repent ourselves and work on ourselves? Because Isaac Morley did it. He died in Utah in 1865 after being a bishop and a patriarch and enduring faithfully and doing God's will. And that's the message, because we want to be his. I hope you know the church is true. And more than that, I hope you know how much our Savior loves you.